Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Thank you and good afternoon. I suppose every age could be considered an age of anxiety, worry, fear, insecurity, frustration, and a whole host of other emotional problems combined to make about every generation an age of anxiety. Statistics indicate that more people are incapacitated by mental illness than by all other health problems combined. Some experts in the field of mental health contend that perhaps half of all the people who are patients in medical hospitals actually have no organic disease, that more of them are more psychosomatic and psychological. Mental illness is regarded as one of our nation's number one health problems. Millions of unhappy people are trying to escape from their anxieties. Americans gulp down millions of tranquilizer, sleeping pills every day. Others trying to find release from their anxiety through alcohol. And more adults are now turning to marijuana and meth and other so-called recreational drugs. And then the endless pleasure seekers, those who are grasping after material possessions, are those who are involved in illicit sexual relationships, all efforts at escapism. The problem of man's happiness and peace of mind during his life on earth is a legitimate concern of Christianity. Christ said in John 10, verse 10, "I am come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And his prescription for happiness is found in the Beatitudes. Christ specified 8 qualities of life which are guaranteed to result in true happiness when they're put into effect in one's life. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, said, "In nothing be anxious." Philippians 4, verse 6, a modern version, "In nothing worry." Peter exhorted his readers to cast all their cares upon the Lord with the assurance that He careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. So this afternoon, we want to look at this serious problem of anxiety from a biblical point of view. You might be surprised to learn how much practical advice the Bible really contains on this subject. Advice which can help you deal with your problems. There would be some justification for anxiety if it really accomplished anything positive, but it doesn't. Christ once asked His disciples, "Which of you, by being anxious, can add 1 cubit unto the measure of his stature?" Matthew 6, verse 27. The answer to his question is obvious. One can't worry and be anxious enough to increase his height. Tension, fear, and worry may actually shorten one's life, though, and certainly won't lengthen it. Well, first think about the physical effects of anxiety. There's an old maxim which says, if it's not work that kills you, it's worry that kills you. Can anyone deny that? A great many of the diseases which plague modern man call for rest cures. Simply means that many of our ailments are not due to our bodies that get out of tune so much as our nerves, which are overly strained. Migraine headaches, stomach ulcers, various other frequent health problems are traceable to tension and to worry. Even many circulatory and respiratory disorders are seriously aggravated by fear and worry. To find a remedy for anxiety would be a major contribution to the physical health of people in the United States. And even if one does not have these more serious physical problems, which are to one degree or another affected by anxiety, he will at least weaken himself and dissipate his physical energy through this futile worry and fear. Think about a child on Christmas Eve who's so excited, tense, and anxious about the coming day that he just cannot go to sleep. He tosses in his bed maybe until 3 a.m., then he drops off to a fitful sleep. Maybe he wakens at 5 a.m. He rushes to open his gifts. Everything he said he wanted is there. But he's so tired and irritable from the loss of sleep the night before that neither he nor anyone else in the family can enjoy the next day. And then again, think about the social effects of anxiety. When one is upset over something that has gone wrong at the office or at home or in his life, he's likely to create problems for his family. Short tempers set off arguments between husbands and wives. Irritable parents thoughtlessly break their children's heart by pushing them aside or saying unkind things to them. When one is worried and tense, he's not the Christian that he ought to be. When he's annoyed and out of sorts, it's easy for him to let loose unkind, bitter, cutting words that will drive men away from both that individual and also from the Lord. And then third, think about the spiritual problem of anxiety. Anxiety is a symptom of faithlessness. The fact that a person is a worrier means that he does not trust God as he ought to trust the Lord. God invites Christians to cast all their care upon Him, for He careth for you. Not just some of their problems, not just the little ones, but all of your cares. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. If God had not made that gracious offer, we would be constantly praying for Him to take our cares. But He's made the offer, and then men refuse it. The Bible represents God as a loving Father who has promised to meet every need of His children. Christ assures us that the Father knew of and would supply the physical needs of the disciples. He said, "Be not therefore anxious, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:31-33. And Paul assured us that God will guard our spirits as well as our bodies. He wrote about that in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Well, in light of these heavenly guarantees, it's clear that anxiety reflects dishonor upon God. He has promised to take care of His children, but when they worry and have a terrible sense of insecurity, Christians are saying, "God, I heard it, but I just can't believe it. I just don't believe You mean what You've said." Well, let me share with you some suggestions for overcoming anxiety. Surely we all agree that worry is destructive, and we also must agree that it would be wonderful to find a solution to this problem, which is so characteristic of our hectic and our frenzied world. Well, how do we come to possess real peace of mind? Some would answer that by simply a matter of saying it's inherited temperament. We're asked to believe that some people are just born happy-go-lucky, born with a positive attitude, and these fortunate people take life in stride. Others say, well, it's a matter of physical health. If one is strong and robust and he's energetic, he can avoid worry. But if he's run down and he has poor health, everything will prey on his mind. And then others will say that peace of mind is a matter of money. If a man is prosperous, he has enough money, and he can live a comfortable lifestyle, then he's supposed to have a serene spirit. Well, with regard to these three suggestions, let it be observed that there is some degree of truth in each one. A natural disposition toward optimism and good cheer is good. A sound body, healthy body, is good. Financial security, surely great helps in acquiring peace of mind. But one would be very foolish to deny that these things are of great consequence in overcoming anxiety. But can only those few people who possess these qualities achieve victory over anxiety? Well, if so, then God would be a respecter of persons. The fact is that many people who are healthy and wealthy and wise have worries. Some of the most miserable people there are those who have all kinds of external symbols which indicate that they have been a success and ought to have happiness. They live in a beautiful, spacious house. They drive a fine, expensive automobile. They wear nice clothes, but they cannot develop and maintain stable friendships. They have the externals which ought to contribute to happiness and peace of mind, but it's obviously lacking in so many lives. On the other hand, some people who have practically nothing in terms of the externals, the physical things in life, are among the most contented people on the earth. Our Lord had little of this world's goods, but He had the peace which passes all understanding. Paul was treated with contempt by many of the evil people of his generation. He was beaten, he was insulted, he was falsely accused, he was frequently imprisoned. But even when he was in jail, he could sing praises to God, as he did in Acts 16, verse 25. Well, what then is the secret to overcoming anxiety? Number one, I suggest that you talk your problems over with someone you can trust. What a comfort it must have been for David to have his trusted friend Jonathan in whom he could confide. And what a comfort it is to one today who's burdened with grief and disappointment and frustration to be able to bear his soul to someone who will listen patiently, will listen sympathetically, who will do what he can to help bear the friend's burdens. Each of us should make a conscious effort to develop this kind of friendship with other Christians. How do we go about it? Solomon said that those who would have friends must show themselves friendly. In other words, if you would have someone to be patient and sympathetic and helpful toward you, be that kind of person toward others. And number two, avoid the misuse of the tongue. For one thing, don't tell your troubles to just everybody. Tell a trusted friend who will keep the matter in strictest confidence. But do not give in to the temptation to advertise and complicate the matter by talking too freely. Solomon said, "In the multitude of words, there wanteth not transgression, but he that refraineth his lips doeth wisely." Proverbs 10, verse 19. And number three, face life one day at a time. Don't make the mistake of trying to live in a lump. Don't borrow problems from tomorrow. Our Lord gave wise counsel when He said, "Be not therefore anxious for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Matthew 6, verse 34. Many things look like they're insurmountable. But if we will have a trusted friend that we can talk to, we'll avoid the misuse of the tongue, we'll face life one day at a time. God has said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Is your life filled with anxiety? Turn to the Lord. Trust in Him. Be obedient to His will. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.